Next is item H, also an action item. These are trial court allocations, funding for general court operations and specific costs in fiscal year 15-16. And we welcome the presenters, Presiding Judge Marcia Slough, member of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, Chair of the Trial Court Presiding Judges Advisory Committee, and Member of Council. Also, we welcome Mr. David Yamasaki, member of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee and Court Executive Officer for the Superior Court of Santa Clara County. And again, Mr. Zlatko Theodorovich, Judicial Counsel Finance. Thank you.
Good morning, Chief, Mr. Hoshino, Council members. I, too, am standing in for Judge Earl this morning, who is not available today. As you all know, the Judicial Council has the statutory authority to allocate funding appropriated in the Annual Budget Act from the Trial Court Trust Fund. The Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee has provided recommendations for allocations from the Trial Court Trust Fund for general trial court operations and certain specific trial court costs. The Budget Advisory Committee took action at its meeting of July 6th of this year, setting forth nine separate recommendations that we bring to you today for action. Nearly all of the recommendations that we will present today were approved unanimously, with the exception of one, which is recommendation number 8. It did pass on a 20-6 vote. Four of the recommendations reflect allocations of new funding, which has been provided in the 2015 Budget Act, and that are those are recommendations 2, 3, 7, and 9. The majority of the recommendations are what I'll call basically pro forma, as they reflect allocations calculated according to Judicial Council approved methodologies or prior approved allocations. Again, for scorekeeping purposes, those are recommendations 1, 3, 4, 6, 7, and 8. Again, those are actions which are fairly, again, what I call pro forma. So with that, what I guess I would ask, Chief, is I had anticipated on going through allocations 1 through 7 myself. Mr. Yamasaki will present allocations 8 through 9. Chief, would you like a vote after each individual recommendation, or would you prefer one vote for all nine?
Thank you, Judge Slough. My review of this is that these are not, in other words, dependent on each other. So I would prefer, frankly, to take 1 through 7, have that discussed in its entirety, and any amendments that are made or suggestions or options we'll take at the time, but try to handle it depending on the level of activity and concern, try to handle these in two motions, 1 through 7 and then 8 and 9.
Thank you very much, Chief. What I'll do is I'll go then through each recommendation. I will explain each of them and then call for any questions individually after each one.
Thank you.
You are welcome. As this council is aware, the government code requires this body to make a preliminary allocation in July of each fiscal year and a final allocation before February of each fiscal year. And for people who are following at home, this is starting at page 3 of item H in the materials that have been provided. So as it relates to recommendation 1, in compliance with the government code, Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee asks that this body approves the 2015-16 beginning base allocation for court operations of $1.683 billion, which carries forward the ending of the 14-15 Trial Court Trust Fund base allocation and adds the general fund benefits base allocation and adjustments to annualize partial year allocations made in 14-15. The documents specifically as it relates and supports this recommendation are found in attachments E of the and A of the material. So as it relates to the first recommendation, again, the first base allocation, any technical questions or comments regarding this recommendation? Hearing none, I will move to our second recommendation. At its June 26, 2015 Judicial Council meeting, the Council approved the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee's recommendation for the allocation of $13.4 million included in the 2015 Budget Act for trial courts, as we had made progress towards compliance with the PEPRA law, the Public Employees Pension Reform Act. The governor's proposed budget as it relates to these new benefit funding included $42.7 million. However, it was reduced to $38.8 million because the employee and retiree health premiums and or the employer share amounts came in lower than that estimated by the court. So the total amount in this recommendation, again, is 38.8, or I should say the total amount in the governor's budget was 38.8. As stated, many of the courts made significant progress as it relates to coming into compliance with the PEPRA requirements, and others are continuing to work with their employees as well. So at this stage, the Budget Advisory Committee asks and recommends that you allocate each court's share of the $24.2 million for 14-15 non-interpreter employee benefit cost changes from the Trial Court Trust Fund. The remaining $1.2 million provided in the 14-15 court interpreter benefits cost changes in the Budget Act of 2015 was added as a separate line item within the 45-45 Trial Court Trust Fund program. So I know it's kind of a complex, convoluted issue, but if anyone has any specific questions regarding this recommendation, please ask. And Zlatko or anyone, if any further clarification is needed, please feel free to speak up as well.
Of course, Judge Slough, you're doing a fine job so far. We'll let you know if we have any need to help.
You'll kick me under the proverbial table across the telephone line?
Indeed.
All right. So not hearing any questions regarding recommendation or comments regarding recommendation two, we'll go to recommendation number three, which is the 2015-16 WAFM allocation adjustment. It is set forth on page 5 of the materials in item H. As you all are well aware, in April of 2013, the Council adopted a policy to phase in the use of a workload allocation funding methodology for reallocating court's historic WAFM-based funding. The court has, over the past couple of years, adopted numerous revisions to WAFM. At this time, the Budget Advisory Committee recommends that this body allocate each court's share of the net allocation increase in the governor's budget of $67.9 million from the Trial Court Trust Fund using the 2015-16 workload-based allocation funding methodology, which consists of a reallocation of $432.1 million. That is WAFM at 30%, and an additional $214.2 million of the court's historical WAFM-related base allocation of $1.44 billion, reallocation of $146.3 million in new funding provided, in the 13-14 and 14-15 for general court operations, and an allocation of $67.9 million in new funding provided in this most recent budget for 15-16. Any questions regarding this third recommendation regarding the WAFM allocation adjustment? Not hearing any, I will move to the fourth recommendation. This is found on page 6 of the materials under item I. In this recommendation, the Budget Advisory Committee is addressing the issue of the 2015-16 funding floor allocation adjustment. At its February 20th, 2014 meeting for allocating trial court base funding for court operations, this council voted for an absolute funding floor of $750,000 in fiscal year 15-16, and then a graduating funding floor based on a court's WAFM funding need. This recommendation, we ask that this body allocate each court's share of the 15-16 WAFM methodology funding floor allocation adjustment, which includes funding floor allocations for 8 courts, which totals $560,269, and a corresponding funding floor reduction for the remaining courts totaling that same amount, resulting in a net zero total allocation. Any questions or comments, concerns regarding recommendation number 4? Not hearing any, I will move to recommendation number 5. This is found on page 7 of the materials. This is an allocation as it relates to, or a recommendation as it relates to, the allocation of the court's contribution to the 2% reserve. In previous council action on July 27, 2012, July 25, 2013, and in July of 2014, the council approved a pro rata allocation of the one-time 2% reserve funding. Based on the Budget Act of this year, 2015, the 2% reserve amount is $37,677,580. That reflects 2% of the 15-16 trial court trust fund program 4510 programs. The Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee recommends that this body allocate each court's one-time contribution toward the statutorily required 2% reserve in the trial court trust fund, which is $37.7 million for this fiscal year, calculated using the method utilized from 12-13 through fiscal 14-15. The documents supporting this recommendation are found in Attachment A, specifically within Column 5. Any questions, comments, concerns regarding recommendation 5? Not hearing any, I will move to our recommendation number 6, which relates to the 1% fund balance cap. At its July 29, 2014 business meeting, the Judicial Council to assist the council in coming into compliance with the government code as it relates to the 1% cap, determined that each year the courts would be required to submit the 1% computation form with preliminary year-end information by July 15th. The information provided by the courts would be used by this council to make the preliminary allocation of reductions as required by the government code. Each year, the courts are required to submit the 1% computation form with final year-end information by October 15th. Before February, the Judicial Council Chief Financial Officer will report to the council the information provided by the courts for the final allocation reduction, if any, are required. With that foundation, the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee recommends as follows. We ask that you approve a preliminary one-time allocation reduction of $122,393 to three courts that are projecting the portion of their 2014-15 ending fund balance that is subject to the 1% fund balance cap exceeds by that amount, the $122,393. So we would ask for a reduction in that amount. Any questions, comments, or concerns regarding recommendations?
We got a little bit updated information from some trial courts. This is Lotko. Thank you, Martin. And the new number is 392,881. These were for nine courts. So this was an update from what was in the materials. Again, these are preliminary, and we know that those were being updated as this report was being developed. So the revised number is 392,881 for nine courts who have amounts above their 1% cap.
Thank you for that correction, Zlotko. You had informed me of that, and I neglected to note it. Thank you for that. So any questions with that update? Not hearing any, I will go to recommendation number 7, which relates to the allocation for court-appointed dependency counsel costs. As you know, this body at its April 17, 2015 meeting approved several recommendations from the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee that direct the allocation of court-appointed counsel funding to the courts. The council approved what I will kind of describe as similar to a WAFM phase-in approach as follows. In fiscal 15-16, the courts received 10% based on the new formula, 90% based on the historical base. The next year, 16-17, 40% on the workload-based funding, 60% on the historical base. 17-18, 80%, and then 18-19, 100% based on workload-based funding. At this time, the Budget Advisory Committee recommends that you approve a one-time allocation of $11 million, which is new funding from the Trial Court Trust Fund, for reimbursement of court-appointed dependency counsel costs based on the Judicial Council-approved methodology as follows. First, $10.9 million to the trial courts, with a ratio of 15-16 base funding to their workload-based funding need. Second, set aside a reserve of $100,000 to reimburse the trial courts for unexpected and significant court-appointed dependency counsel costs based on an application and reimbursement process, which will be approved at a future council hearing before April 2016. The documents in support of this recommendation are found in Attachment A, specifically Column 7 of the materials, and this item is located on pages 8 and 9 of the materials you have before you. Any questions or comments regarding recommendation number 7? Not hearing any at this time, Chief, I would turn it over to you for a vote on items 1 through 7.
Thank you, Judge Schlau, and thank you, Slotko. I want to also give a special thank you for staff, Judicial Council staff, for the preparation of the materials as well. I know for me, I especially appreciated, Judge Schlau, your recap of prior Judicial Council action that set up and provided history and background that would put these recommendations in front of us. It's very helpful for us, for me at least, to be able to know the dates and the years that we made some of these very significant changes to Judicial Council budget and also to trial court funding, which makes and tees up all of these issues for us. So I thank you for that, and I believe that that went a long way toward helping to reduce any further questions about some of the background, not necessarily the actions taken by the Budget Advisory Committee, but certainly the background. I also appreciate that the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, I think even before our open public meeting rule at the Judicial Council, conducted many of its meetings in an open setting, and that has permitted a lot of us and many other interested parties to listen in and become part of the conversation where the 15 presiding judges and the 15 court executive officers come to these recommendations and these votes. So with that in mind, I would entertain any motion from recommendations items 1 through 7, including A and B, at this time.
Chief, this is Justice Hall. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Justice Hall. I heard another voice. Please go ahead.
Well, Rosenberg will second, but I do have a question.
Thank you. Go ahead, Judge Rosenberg.
So, Judge Schlau or Slotko or anyone else, I believe you stated that the votes at the Budget Advisory Committee were unanimous. What was not unanimous and why?
Judge Rosenberg, this is Judge Schlau, and it was recommendation number 8 that was not the non-unanimous vote, and I will that David Yamasaki will be addressing recommendation number 8, and so I would ask him to brief you and the others on that particular question.
Well, we can wait till we get there. That'd be
okay.
Fine.
Okay.
Thank you. Chief Dave D'Alba, can I ask a question, please?
Of course, please.
Dave D'Alba, Chief, I don't know if I heard or didn't hear whether we had public comment on any of these action items. And, you know, I appreciate your comments of openness and transparency that the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee has historically embarked on. And I certainly compliment Judge Schlau for her fine presentation this morning. And as you said, Chief, the materials that are before us are very useful in incorporating the historical bases and recap of highlights of how our budget got to where it is today. And the attachments are very, very detailed as to every court's allocation, starting from their base to the WAFMs to dependency council, whatever it be. It's all before us, and it's on the website and has been duly published as it is required to be for this public meeting. So I find it interesting, if it's true, that we have no public comment, which suggests to me no controversy. So I want to compliment the staff and Judge Schlau for her presentation. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Judge D'Alba. There is a motion on the floor brought by Justice Hull, seconded by Judge Rosenberg, as previously described. Not hearing any further comments, although certainly open to it. At this time, all in favor of recommendations 1 through 7, including A and B of 7, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Those items are adopted. Thank you, Judge Schlau, and thank you also, Zlatko. Next, we'll hear from David Yamasaki on the remaining items, 8 and 9, 9A through C. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Madam Chief Justice, members of the council, Mr. Hoshino. Let me first start by providing a warning. Unfortunately, my office is next to the busiest firehouse in San Jose, and to save your eardrums, I will put my phone on mute if the fire trucks go out on call, okay? So my presentation is being made on behalf of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee and Judge Tom Boris, Judge of the Superior Court for the County of Orange, with whom I co-chair the Criminal Justice Realignment Subcommittee. This subcommittee was established a few years ago with the enactment of the Criminal Justice Realignment Act and has continued to review and recommend to the Budget Advisory Committee as new related activities have arisen, the passage of Proposition 47 being one of those new activities. I will be speaking to two items, numbers 8 and 9, contained within item H of your materials. And beginning on pages 3 through 4 is a higher-level description of the recommendations of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. And greater detail is provided on pages 9 through 13. I will take up number 8 at this time. This year's Budget Act has earmarked $9.2 million to support the work of the trial courts dealing with the additional workload resulting from the criminal justice realignment. Historically, the allocation followed a biannual allocation based upon workload experienced throughout the year. The recommendation of the Budget Advisory Committee is to allocate the entire amount of the $9.2 million based upon the workload data that has been provided to the Judicial Council's Criminal Justice Services Office. And as I had indicated, the previous action of the Budget Advisory Committee, as recommended to the Judicial Council, was to divide the $9.2 million into two amounts. 4.6 of it would be provided at the start of the fiscal year, and the remaining 4.6 would then be distributed based on new data that is received, so as to ensure that the allocations are based on the most current information. You'll recall with realignment, many of the courts were experiencing fluctuations throughout the year, and the reason for the dual distribution process was to accommodate any courts that sustain any, you know, peaks later on. And the recommendation of the Budget Advisory Committee was to allocate the entire amount at the beginning of the fiscal year. And part of the discussion centered on giving courts an opportunity to better budget throughout the year rather than trying to expend those resources for the second half with all of the other challenges that the courts are having. The sense was to just distribute the money at the outset, and that particular item, as was expressed earlier, was not a vote that was unanimous, and I can shed a little bit of light on that if folks are interested.
I would be interested. This is Senator Jackson. I would be interested because I'm, given all the controversy that this Prop 47 has created with respect to additional work on the courts and so forth, I'm hoping that there's going to be some very specific accountabilities here so that each court will identify whether or not they're seeing an increase in caseload, a decrease, and just so we can determine how effective Prop 47 is in meeting the expectations of the public. And I think the court maintaining good data is going to be critical to that. Is there some way this is all going to be kind of hooked in together?
Yes, and the good news for you, Senator Jackson, is that the Prop 47 issue, which is item number 9, actually did not have challenges in terms of the approach. So this one is more related to realignment, and I can give you a little bit of the detail as to part of the discussion that took place.
Great. So, I think that they are sort of connected in terms of at least public policy, so I appreciate if you wouldn't mind.
Certainly. So one of the things that we had discovered is that while there was a good methodology that we were looking to determine how to distribute the money based on what was coming in, the challenge that we were trying to put our hands around, and there was a desire to look at additional data, but the challenge that we were experiencing is that many of the cases that had been finished, if you will, what we were seeing within the courts, additional workload for the parole violations on the backside. You'll recall that many of the folks would have ordinarily served time in state institutions were now being were serving their time locally, and we didn't really have a good sense of what happened after they had been released. And as we are starting to see the workload now, some of the jurisdictions have been experiencing higher activity related to the revocations. And that was one of the things that the Budget Advisory Committee heard some comments about, is whether it would be appropriate to look at what is happening with the revocation activity for the different courts rather than focusing on the workload that was coming in at the outset. And as you had heard, the discussions were pretty extensive, and the conclusion that was made by the Budget Advisory Committee was to give courts the benefit of having those resources and budget accordingly and expend those resources to deal with the workload that was coming in. And as you know, the Realignment Act has been around for a number of years, and the sense was that it would be more fruitful for the majority to receive the money early on. And so that was the difference in the discussion that took place at the Budget Advisory Committee, to just rely on the information that has been received thus far. I don't know if that answers your question.
Well, if I understand what you're saying correctly, what you're saying is that given that you had enough data from realignment, because I think it's been in play now 3 or 4 years, that you felt that giving that money to the counties, to the courts earlier, was justifiable based upon your the experience dealing with realignment. Is that a fair statement?
That is a fair statement. I think what we are trying to do also within the subcommittee is make sure that we're not missing opportunities to capture workload. And that was one of the reasons why there was a desire to look a little more closely at new data that was coming in, not just on the petitions that were being processed at the outset of the case, but rather looking at the resulting workload of having to deal with the revocations on the other side. And that was obviously raised, and the majority of the Budget Advisory Committee felt that the methodology that was in place thus far would be sufficient to
great. Okay. But as compared to Prop 47, and that's item 9, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
So David, this is the chief.
Yes.
I seem to recall when we had the original discussion at Judicial Council about the first allocation of this money, and I remember that there was discord amongst the members because some felt that the results weren't really indicative of what I should say. There was a discussion amongst some of the trial judge members that revocations could likely be or were in some courts being avoided, and that there was some concern as to why some courts had seemed to have more revocation than others, and whether or not that was a resource problem or what the issue was. So I seem to recall in a Judicial Council discussion the belief that that was the reason for holding back some of the money 1 year, is to determine and look at the flow of revocation, not just the overall end result. And yet this time when it came before the Budget Advisory Committee of are the membership, who had now more experience and certainly had the opportunity for input from the courts that are experiencing this and had to look at the data, made a decision, although not unanimous, to allocate all the money at one time instead of holding back and examining the basis for the revocation activity. Is that what I understand you to have said when you referred to Senator Jackson and where we are today, having some data under our belt?
Yeah, and so the you're absolutely correct, Chief. There was still a desire to hold back a little bit of the money because some of the courts had not necessarily seen some of the filings that were coming in at the outset, and obviously we wanted to make sure that, that there was an ability to provide some resources to those courts who may not have seen some of the workload at the outset of realignment. But that, you know, being, you know, operating for the last several years with it in effect, I think we have a pretty good idea of what's coming in at the front. The discussion that really took place at the Budget Advisory Committee relates to a high number of revocations and new cases that were being filed for those people who were on parole locally. And while we were not seeing those numbers at the outset because many of the people were still serving time, we are now starting to see people who are being released and a resulting impact to the local courts that may have imposed post-release community supervision on that particular case. So that's what we wanted to try to do, and that was part of the discussion that was raised at the Budget Advisory Committee to perhaps take a pause and see if we're starting to see in the different courts an increase in the revocations and new offenses from those people who were serving local time.
Chief, this is Marcia Slough. If I may add a parallel discussion track as well. We also talked about had a lot of healthy dialogue about some of the holdbacks and splitting up the allocation and how that makes it difficult to plan your year out fiscally, particularly when you have the 1% cap and you want to be able to plan as smartly as you can to assure that you are you know, able to use the monies effectively and efficiently. And I know that was very important to the courts as well, and a long dialogue about trying to, as best we can, and when appropriate, to get away from multiple allocations on a particular item.
I appreciate this. It's been very helpful to have Senator Jackson ask the question and start our discussion, and thank you. I'm satisfied. I realize that this is an important issue for the members, and there was disagreement. But, of course, it sounds like there was always reasonable minds can disagree, and there was a vote, and it's before us. I appreciate that. Thank you, David. In terms of questions on item 8, we may proceed with more and then proceed to number 9. Thank you.
Okay. And I didn't have anything else to add with respect to recommendation or item number 8. Okay. So I'll move to item number 9. And this, as I indicated, was a little more straightforward. And let me just give you a little bit of background. The cases that are involved with respect to Prop 47 encompass two communities or two populations of workload. One is those cases that were already underway had the opportunity to be reclassified or the individuals could be resentenced. So those are those particular cases we could very readily capture the volume, although there was one issue that was a bit complicated, and that is how to count them because so many of the petitions were being made orally. And since November, when the proposition was adopted, we have since had communications with the trial courts, and we believe we have a good methodology for are actually identifying those cases that were being reviewed by the courts. The other population of cases relates to cases that have long been disposed, and individuals have an opportunity to petition the court to have those cases reclassified from felonies to misdemeanors. And that is a population of cases that we very much struggled with the subcommittee to try to determine what the volume of those cases would be. And so the recommendation of the subcommittee that was adopted by the Budget Advisory Committee was to divide the $26.9 million in two blocks, with the first block of resources being 13.45, half of the 13.5, which amounts to $6.73 million, would be based on the petitions that were filed between November and May. And the other half represents a pro rata estimate of all of the cases that were filed in the different courts over the last 10 years. The good thing is data that we had going back 10 years was very easily retrievable, and it obviously took into consideration any fluctuations from year to year, because all of the courts generally have had some levels of fluctuations. But we wanted to try to use the estimate of the last 10 years of workload as a proxy to try to determine how much each court would be having to deal with, and wanted to make sure that there was an opportunity for those courts to receive some of the resources that were needed to address the corresponding workload. So this particular recommendation, as indicated, was a unanimous recommendation to divide the $26.9 million in two amounts. One is to use a hybrid of the number of petitions from, again, November through May, and the other half of the 13.5 would be based on a pro rata percentage to the different courts based on filings over the last 10 years. And then going forward, this particular item is to recommend that the remaining $13.5 million be based on each court's share of the petitions for resentencing and reclassification from June 1 of 15 through November 31 of 2015. Many courts have been experiencing a little bit of a delay in the petitions that they're seeing, because it's been extremely impactful to the criminal justice partners within each county. It requires a collaboration with the prosecuting agencies, public defender's offices as well, to try to get their hands around these cases. And some of them have struggled to process the requests that are coming in from individuals. But by now, we believe that we have our rough estimate of what the workload is going to be, and most of the counties are working pretty smoothly in complying with the requirements under Prop 47. So this is the recommendation of the Budget Advisory Committee to, again, recommend the distribution in two amounts, one that is a hybrid of petitions filed and filings over the last 10 years, and then the second half of the 26.9 being distributed based on the petitions.
May I just jump in for 1 second and just ask, I appreciate, and I don't have any quarrel with the approach you're taking, but it would be very, very helpful if the courts were able to keep very specific data so that we can see trends, so that we can anticipate going forward what the problems are going to be, what the claims are going to be, and what the financial needs are going to be to implement Prop 47 so that it does in fact meet the expectations of the public.
Yeah, Senator Jackson, this is Latko Todorovic. We are collecting extensive amounts of data through our Office of Criminal Justice Programs and working with the legislature and the Department of Finance in terms of tracking a number of items of data so that we can provide a full reporting of the impacts of the initiative on the system.
Great. Thank you.
Senator Jackson, David Yamasaki again. The importance of accurately reflecting the workload resulting from this is something that has been expressed through the Court Executives Advisory Committee as well. We certainly appreciate the resources that have been earmarked for Prop 47, and we want to do our best to provide the information that you need to have to make decisions going forward on how best to deal with this workload. So we have heard the message, and we're endeavoring to give you as much information as we can.
Great. Thanks so much.
So thank you, David. That concludes your presentations on items 8, 9, 8, and A through C.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chief, this is Jim Fox, and just a technical correction. On page 13, there are several references to the November 31st date. November only has 30 days.
Staff need all the extra days they can to get the work done. We thank you for that,
correction.
Pretty funny.
On page 13 of your materials explaining the options and the basis for recommendations, so noted, greatly appreciated. Wherever it says November 31, at least two places should be, two places should be corrected to November 30th. Thank you. I would entertain a motion to adopt items 8 and 9 and a second. Is council satisfied with the presentation made today?
Fox would so move.
I'm sorry, who's moving?
Nadler, Fox moved it, and Judge Nadler seconded, I think.
Thank you. Enough. Jim Fox moved, Judge Nadler seconded. As you know, it never forecloses discussion. Do I hear any further discussion items on as indicated? Not hearing any. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? We adopt items 8 and 9 as indicated. I thank the presenters and staff for presenting to us very complicated matters with historical background that helps us all understand this, and we were able to do it off these materials that were written and provided publicly. Thank you. It was difficult. These are difficult subjects, and you presented them well and simply, in my view. Thank you.